Thanks so much for listening in to the Saints Hill Church podcast. Our vision is to see heaven come to earth, and we do this by equipping the saints to know who they are in Christ, to walk in freedom through the truth, and make disciples who change the world. We hope this message draws you further into relationship with our Father, and if you would like to give to the mission of Saints Hill, please visit our website at saintshill.church. And thank you. Your generosity helps to keep Saints Hill going. Now, on to the message.
Wow, so last night I had 10 boys at my house dressed up, holding shields and foam swords, running through the fields, battling each other on driveways. My son Tripp Shepherd, they're probably half awake. Ben's here, William's here, Shep's here, some of the parents are here. These boys tried to pull an all-nighter, only one made it. But it was amazing to see children play. How many of you parents in the room miss seeing your kids play? How many of you parents now are like, please, God, have them go play, right? Just more. It's like we're prophesying that they would go in the name of Jesus. We're trying to send them out. We're like, take a water bottle, take a snack, like be prepared for the journey. Don't come back, right? But listen, as I stand here, I need to make something super duper duper clear. I plan to teach you nothing today. I really promise you I won't teach you a single thing. I plan to elevate Jesus of Nazareth and to watch the room be drawn to him. Jesus said, and I'm gonna say Jesus a lot, get over it. Jesus says that when I am lifted up above the earth, all people will be drawn to me, all colors, all races, all socioeconomic statuses, all status of life, children, young and old. We even have rumors that animals are drawn to love, that water changes at the call of love. And let me tell you one thing. Jesus of Nazareth left. Oh, I got to start my timer. Thanks, Siri. Jesus, we can edit that, right? Jesus left one marker here on earth. He said that you and I would be recognized, noticed by one thing. Who knows it? By this, all people will know that you are my followers, my learners, my growers, my apprentices, my disciples, my friends. My friends, being a friend of God. How amazing. Like children, we get to meet in this sandbox today and just say, worthy is his name, this person, Jesus, that comes to declare the way forward. In fact, he becomes the way forward. He comes to tell us about life and life abundant and life everlasting. And in fact, he himself is the life, and he becomes the way, the truth, and the life for all men. Not because of the cross. Why did Jesus come to earth? To die on the cross, to make sure I'm a Christian, so I read my Bible, so I journal, so I pray. He did all those things, but he came because God so loves the people of the world. This is why Jesus came. He had a lot to accomplish. Accomplishing it isn't hard. It's accepting that the reason he came is so simple, a child could understand it. At the end of his ministry, this Yeshua from Nazareth pulls one person. He goes, wow. Wow, look at this person. Hey, boys, girls, come here. If you don't change how you're thinking and become like this person, you're gonna miss dad's house. Remember who it was? It's a child. It was a child. It was a child. Jesus Christ, the most childlike man to ever live. Jesus Christ, filled with the power and authority. All power, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. What does he do with that? He says, love each other. He says, don't judge each other. The guy that's gonna judge us says, don't do it. He's like, I have all the power, all the authority in heaven and on earth, and you're gonna look at that little girl going in that door of that hospital, and you're gonna hold a sign that says she's not gonna make it into my dad's kingdom? Oh, be careful. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, the campaigns that you go on for Jesus and his kingdom. Please remain behind him. Please remain with him. Jesus is a person. And I'm recognizing these days that to follow Jesus means to be willing to always, never know. How many of you can relate to that? To always, never know. Go ahead, make a plan. The adults are laughing, right? The people over like 40 are like, make a plan. I dare you. Make a plan in Jesus' name. It'll work. This is the problem. We have 38,000 denominations of Christianity in the world today. Did you know that? 38,000 different reasons to divide God's house, to stand at the door. You're out, I'm in. You go over there, I'll be in here. I'm with the Father. Don't worry, God. Phil's here, he'll protect you. Wow. Wow, so if the marker he left here on earth to identify me, I identify as a follower of Jesus from Nazareth, the Christ. So he comes out of love and he does all the amazing stuff. He dies on the cross, he's resurrected, which he was, by the way, just a hint, was Jesus Christ the resurrection and the life before he died and was resurrected? Yes. His resurrection did not make him the resurrected one. He is resurrection life. There was a moment in history where God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and depending on how you read the Proverbs, wisdom said, hey, let there be time. And with a word, time began. Outside of our wildest imaginations, backwards in history, before we were created, Jesus was resurrection life. It was always the plan. It was always his plan. So to follow Jesus of Nazareth means to always never know. To follow him. Oh, I found this. If you can't tell, I didn't really get ready. Here we go. I found this in its construction. Don't tell anyone. Peligro and danger. Okay. What are we in danger of? If the one before me is Jesus, if you can't find Jesus today, if you're dry, here's all you got to do. Where are you, Lord? And get back behind your person. Get back behind your person. We take detours in life and he waits at the off ramps. How many of you have seen him do that for you? He'll let you lead. He'll let you take charge. And it will go well, and then it will start to fade, then you'll run out of energy, and then you find yourself somewhere in front of that line. Jesus is the way. I find myself behind him or beside him, never before him. He is before us. He promises to lead, and he says, stay behind me, and you stay beside me. How many of you have wondered, what's God doing in my life? Like, where are we going? What's this look like? Did you see the shadow on this wall? Can you guys see the shadow? Like if I do a good job today, how many of you guys are gonna come up and congratulate my shadow? This is totally, completely connected to me. It just does what I do. Phil, Jesus, Phil. The shadow is what we're aiming to be. So if the living change in front of me changes, I recognize and redirect. I recognize and redirect. And sometimes he goes places that the Bible doesn't want me to go. Remember that this word of God is part of God's word. This is the written word, the living truth. There is a spoken word that you are hearing from here at this church. I hear him. Don't you hear him when we're worshiping? Don't you hear it? There's a living word and a written word and a spoken word. Thank God we have Alex and the team and the worshipers and a community of people who are willing to get out of their own way and stay behind this line. So what happens if on faith I sense the Spirit and I pass this line unknowing and in faith I walk and I fall? right? You guys remember when Peter did that? That'll feedback. You remember when Peter did that? He's out on the water and he's like, oh, okay, okay. He kind of like starts walking. He's going to Jesus because Jesus has invited him on the water. He hears his person call him by name. So Jesus, you know the story. I'm gonna get rid of this, I'll keep using it. As Peter sees the wind and the waves, he becomes afraid. Raise your hand if you've never been afraid. Really? Never, never. He's like, I think. So Peter sees the wind and the waves, and you see what happens? He sinks, remember? What does he say? Lord, save me. And immediately, the hand of Jesus reaches out and pulls him up. And when they get back to the shore, you remember the three questions that Jesus asks Peter? Are you sorry for what you did? Do you promise to never do it again? And will you step down for 6 months from apostolic ministry so you can prove you're sorry? Do you love me? Do you love me? I know you love him, Micah. Do you love me? I know you love him, Jason. Aaron, I know you love him. This guy saved my life. Aaron Rauch. He found me in Young Life, just a kid, like walking around. Like some people have never experienced being on top of the water. We don't even have to save them. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Here's Jesus on the scriptures, right? I was sitting at Starbucks this morning, and these are my sermon notes written on my hand here. We'll see if I get to them. The Great Commission, right? I think it's like, we could call it one of the Great Commissions. It's just like one of the Bible labeler guys said it early enough, and you're like, I guess that's what it is. So the Great Commission comes out, and Jesus is like, as you go, take my name, do all the stuff, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit last week, boom, okay? And then he says this, teaching them what? Teaching them the Bible, that wasn't it. Teaching them to pray, teach them, Phil, today. What do I say, Lord? Teach them to obey all that I have commanded you, all that I've commanded you. And here's the teaching of Jesus. Follow me and I'll do the making. You stay behind me. When the lights turn off and my shadow disappears and I want to be acting like, I'm moving shadow. I'm Peter panning, you know, like my shadow's like, woo, right? When his shadow runs away from him, like how crazy am I? If the one that I follow, if that living change before me moves and he lies down and I'm like, I'll keep going. I'll take your off shift, Jesus. I'll get out in front. I'll prepare the way. I'll lower the mountains. I'll raise the valleys. I've got this. It's one of those times that I find myself in front of that line and he waits patiently and says, sweetheart, whenever you're ready, he'll let me lead. But he wants me to follow. So as we're following this living change before us today, I find myself sitting up here on stage, which is a super cool honor. Thank you. It's amazing to lift up the name of Jesus and watch people be drawn to him. But I get to share a few things, we'll see, about what God has been teaching me to do. Like, know what the gospel is. Like what? Like, okay, as we look at the kingdom of heaven, which by the way, right, the kingdom of God is relationships. It's not based on relationships, folks. It's not about relationships. It's not optional. The kingdom of Jesus Father is relationships. No one can see it. Alex can't be like, okay, guys, I found the kingdom. It's on Meridian. Let's go. Right? It's not a matter of eating and drinking. No disrespect to the table of the Lord. This is so beautiful. But I cannot find God's kingdom in the wild and take of it and add it to myself. Why? because the kingdom of God is already within me. It is colonizing me from within. It's pushing out the boundaries of what I'm willing to give up. For crying out loud, what is he not worthy of? What is he not worthy of? Who has he saved in your life other than you? You ever stop to think about this? Look at this room. What does my city need to know from me? Nothing. But to reiterate this message, this person, Jesus is the gospel. I can't pinch the gospel and dangle it in front of you like this. Let's study from the gospel, guys. No, let's listen to the gospel. Here's Jesus on the scriptures. The point of the scripture being to testify to him. You're searching in a book diligently, thinking that within it you may find, stumble upon, gain eternal life. But the book is focused on me, but you just won't come to me. And in the end, guys, it's not an idea of God, it's a truth. Maybe some of us in this room, God forbid, many will come to this person, our person, and say, Lord, did I not? I did the worship thing and I had a Christian company and I had the fish on my car and I was walking the streets and I didn't drink and smoke and swear or chew or go with those who do. I did like all the good stuff. And he's like, yes, sweetheart, but I never knew you. I didn't have this like intimate following relationship where like I could, with my eyes closed, I can find Jesus. He's so close. I can just reach out and touch him. How much do you think the woman who fell on her knees and grabbed the fringe of his coat, how much do you think that affected her? To taste and see the authority of the living God here revealed in human flesh, how much do you think she knew she was healed? Don't let go of your person. Stay behind him. Don't let the foolishness of religion cloud your thinking. The gospel is a person. God, Yahweh, like Almighty God in heaven has one message for earth. And the scripture does not go like this. For God so loved the world, he sent the Bible. I love that. I love this word. I love this scripture. Jesus called it the scripture, so I do too. For God so loved the world, he sent a plan. He sent a ticket to a better place. He sent a checklist. He sent a Google Map link. For God so loved the people of planet Earth, 8.1 billion, he sent a person, his very own and only son, Jesus, so that all who look upon, how many? All who look upon the Son of God and believe will find life that just doesn't end. They'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from themselves. You want to know the number one religion in the world today? It's self-worship. How many of you can agree with that? How many of us need to like tear down that altar? Do you remember Paul when he spoke at the Areopagus and he was talking? They had these like, how many, someone really smart, how many gods? Like 100 gods maybe, all these statues. And Paul goes in there and he witnesses to the people, this person, Jesus from Nazareth as the God, but he can't figure out a way to do it. And so he's like looking through, this is a modern day picture of culture. He's like, oh, not that God. It's like the God of the sea, the God of fire, the God of whatever, the God of like eagles, okay. And then he finds one altar and it says, an altar to the unknown God. Oh, Nico's here too, hey. An altar to the unknown God. And Paul doesn't like, all right, boom. And he's like, this is Sparta, bang. And he's like knocking over altars as he elevates the living God. He doesn't have to do that. He says, I'd like to talk to you about this unknown God, the one that you do not yet know. And he uses their philosopher's speech. He uses their poetry. He uses their culture, because everywhere we go is an opportunity to elevate this message of hope and love. We don't have to elevate the cross. God did that. God has done it. We elevate Jesus and his life and his teachings, which leads us to a change of thinking, which creates a change of being. And we feel the relief that children feel when they're with someone who loves them enough to be their protection, their direction, and their provision. This is not like this is not self-reliance. This is intentional reliance on someone else for everything I need. This is intentional reliance on another for protecting me and directing me through life and for all the provision that I need. This is intentionally relying on another to deal with my taxes and my company and my marriage. I have a goal, and it is to be back behind my person like this. Like, where are we going, Dad? I have two little boys, Shepherd and Crew. They're right there. And my wife, Gina, we've been married 15 years. We live off Bell Road at the Red Barn with all the llamas. Woo! Okay. So if I get home and I'm like, hey boys, let's go get some ice cream. They're like, yeah. Yeah, oh, okay. Okay, questions, few questions about the invitation. Do my boys ever like quickly Google map it in case I don't know how to get where I invited them to go? Do they ever sneak a dollar in their pocket in case I, the one who invited them, can't handle the financial burden? Do they check in with me to make sure that they're, oh, Dad, like, you better check my seatbelt. Have I not, as the one who invited them and who is their protector, their director, their provision, the gift giver, the one that loves them the most, do they really think that I would not have their seatbelt buckled tight? Come on, I don't need their help. I need their cooperation. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to say, yes, Daddy, let's go. So I've had the privilege, like Alex said, to go a lot of places around the world, some really scary, like the Somalias and the Yemens and the Saudi Arabias and the, you know, and like walked around in halls and sat in rooms like this with kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers and their cabinets. And, you know, now we are effectively my wife and family, my boys and I, with all of you friends, we've been called to step into walking alongside the kings and queens of culture. The Holy Spirit said, there's a change coming in your life. You're no longer going to be pouring out to the kings and queens of the world. Okay, that was scary anyway. It's really sweaty in my suit. We're going to redirect and we're going to go toward the kings and queens of culture. Get this. These are people who have been mantled by God to distinguish and then distribute this in the coming generation's habits. What's your automatic reaction to a specific event? Your fears, what are you afraid of and why are you afraid? Your beliefs, what do you believe? And who do you believe about who you are and their focus? If you hit what you were aiming at today, would you be content? So as we walk in, we get to spend some time with some really amazing, amazing people. And the most important thing I think I'm learning is that like to be behind Jesus is to always never know where I'm going. What's the role? What are we gonna say this morning? I don't really know. This is the Lord's stage. It's his microphone, it's his music. He's worthy of the stuff that we're trying to do for him and with him. Let's see where else we should go. Oh yeah. One other thing that popped into my heart this morning is the scripture, you know, where I believe it's Paul, says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Not the patterns, singular. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but instead be renewed. You guys know it. Let your minds be renewed by the transforming. Okay, so the question is then what should we be conformed to? What should we be conformed to? My vote would be the kingdom of God. To find the kingdom of God, I seek the king. Every true king throughout history has elevated their message, their rhythm of doing life, their kingdom, their strength. And then comes one king who rides in on a donkey and is born in hay and lets people spit on him. And he's like lowering himself, saying, I'm here to serve you. And this is the king that we're conforming and having our minds transformed to walk behind him. And so here's Jesus. He's light. Where's Matt? He's lightsaber fighting. Can I have your lightsaber? It's a great company, by the way. Okay, wow. That is, it turns on? Of course it does. Okay, anyways. So here's Jesus and Satan. They're like out in the wilderness, Matthew 4. They're throwing Bible verses at each other, right? Like, you did this and you should do this because the Bible says. And Jesus is like, nah. The scripture also says that man can't live on anything except my Father's words, and that I trust God with everything and don't test my God. And they're doing all this. Thank you. I'm going to set this here. And then Jesus comes in authority after he defeats the enemy in his temptation. And he comes and he stands before a crowd like this, probably much bigger, but we just don't know. Right? Numbers weren't really important to our guy. Dang, okay. And he says this. He says, metanoia. He says, change how you are thinking because something new has arrived. My Father's kingdom has come and it's very different than what you're used to. And he says, you've heard that it's said, but I say to you, I say to you. You've heard that it's said, but I declare to you. You've heard that it's said, but I pronounce to you the truth of humanity itself, the truth of the world, the truth of all eternity past and anything imaginably before eternity's time began. It says, listen, I want you to do a couple things for me. He makes it really clear that we're not responsible for understanding who our neighbor is. That's the dude who drinks too much, the lady who stinks, the one who needs money from you. That's the girl who's done things with her body that you don't agree with. That's the person who's identifying differently than you think they should. Let me throw something at you that might be like sandpaper. Maybe you should stop identifying as a Christian and be a follower of Jesus. Because to those people, if I'm a Christian, I'm a threat. When I'm in Somalia, if I go to church and read the Bible and am a Christian, I have no access. But if I'm a follower of the teachings of Yeshua and I read the scripture, which they have too, and I gather with friends under his life and teachings, I have access to the whole world. Just by the words I speak, I can divide the world on accident here today. Okay. Jesus is always crossing the lake and he never checks the weather. You ever find yourself in the middle of a storm? You go, dang, I really don't know the way out. And the one you trust is like asleep on a pillow. You're like, why aren't you answering? He's like, I was sleeping, dude. My friend John DeMoss, he had a hat on yesterday that says, Jesus takes naps, be like Jesus. Here's this Son of God who rarely, if ever, does all he can possibly do. He heals one at Bethesda. You see, he's comfortable near my suffering. Could you be okay with that statement? If you're in suffering, if you're short right now, if you've been fallen out of love with, if your business seems like it's gonna fail, if you don't get what all the hype's about in here, like people, you know, flinging around and down on their knees and stuff. Like, what if he's not gonna do all that he could possibly do in you? What if you pray for the healing and it doesn't happen? Like Jesus stayed on the cross. Have you ever thought about that? What a humble, loving God. What a humble and loving God. So we're looking at this person who declares that he's the way forward, the truth about life, and we're questioning him. And the encouragement today might be from the Holy Spirit. Maybe he wants you in the boat. Maybe you're trying to walk on water. I had a friend of mine literally tell me in the last 7 days, I tried to walk on water. But what happened? He's like, I fell. Okay. In at least one of those 38,000 denominations, that means God doesn't exist probably. He's not doing miracles anymore, I guess. Because I put the quarter in and I turned the crank and I'm the one guy that didn't get the bouncy ball. I'm the one guy that God won't answer. We're the one family that God can't figure it out for. Jesus never does all he can possibly do. And he's a lot like his father. Jesus, the person that is life. You see, hope is a person, and he's pretty amazing if we would let him be. When we follow Jesus and we walk through our community, they will know that he was sent by God from the people in this room. They will know that he was sent by the Father in heaven, making him the messianic Christ, making him the Son of God, making him who he claims to be. Like, the proof is in here, but if you don't believe this is real, you need something different. And they need a room of people who are completely one, who are unified because of their love of Jesus, even though they see things differently. Our unity proves to the world that God loves them. In his prayer for us, I pray for you, but also for all of those who will believe on account of what you say, you, me, right now. I'm holding a microphone. Like, I'm saying Jesus is the way, you guys. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen leaders of countries fall to their knees, end crises. I've seen millions of people be fed and get water because of loving friendship with Muslims and atheists and homosexuals and all these things that are just working together for our good somehow. And he's like, if you would just stop and listen to me. Here's a question. According to Jesus, how do you know that you will be forgiven? If you forgive others, how do you know that you will not be judged? Listen, according to Jesus, if you choose not to judge, if I choose not to judge, and that includes judging myself, that includes getting free from the prisons that I've found myself in life, in addiction, real addiction in my life. Right? Like, how many of you are addicted? All of us. To what? Everything. What's the answer to addiction? My person who will not, he cannot lead to darkness, but he will absolutely lead through and out of it. I promise you that.
Thanks for listening. If we can do anything to help you, or if you want to stay in the loop with what is going on in and around the church, you can follow us on Instagram, download the Saints Hill app in the App Store, or visit our website.